Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Turn your Bible to Mark chapter 9. When you're young in the ministry, and it's like this pretty much with everybody, there's cycles. You go to a church, and they don't know you, and you don't know them, and the first few years are the honeymoon stage, and they're getting used to you, and you're getting used to them, and the church grows, and it's new and exciting, and then there's a purge that takes place, and then you have some more growth, and so what we expect a lot of times when it comes to Christianity is a constant upward movement, right? I mean, we want to see growth, and let's build more buildings, and all that thing. Well, what you have here, and pastor said this, he said, man, we're out in the middle of nowhere. Well, you are, but so what? I mean, when you look at what God's done even here, this is the handiwork of God. You didn't do this, and pastor didn't do this. God did this, right? And so when God does that and he gets glory, why would he not want to do more? Now, the temptation we have is, let's be honest, the devil gets in, says, look what we've done, and, you know, we got good music and got good preaching and got gin. By the way, when was that time y'all are going to eat seafood? Because I'd like to get involved with that group of eating some popcorn shrimp. This Friday, I'm coming home from the beach to eat some popcorn shrimp somewhere up here. But there's that tendency of, you know, we've organized ministries and we've got this thing figured out, and we start letting that pride seep in. Right? Music, preaching, ministries, and God takes his hand off of it. And then we go, well, what happened? And so a lot of people blame, you know, I've heard this, well, we're leaving the church because we're not getting fed anymore. Well, to me, that says more about you than it does the preacher, because you're supposed to feed yourself, right? We're not babies. You know, well, I just don't like the direction of the church. You know, most of them don't tell you at all, they just leave. Right, they don't want to call you because they know they're not leaving right. So you know, and so there's always this thing going on. And so what I'm saying is, what you got here, God's doing something, so don't mess it up. Amen? Let's close in prayer and I can go home. That's good preaching. But I think the tendency, because we're in a day where a lot of people, even among independent Baptists, believe that the best days are behind us, right? The big ministries and the bus ministries and, you know, all that thing. But here's my thought, okay? And I preached this at our church last year. Everything that revolves around the Christian life should revolve around faith. Can we agree there? Now, I want to make sure, I know I'm in a King James Bible church, but I want to make sure that we all believe this is God's word. It's inspired, which means God breathed. I'm going somewhere, hang with me, right? Which means that if he said it, it's not only true, he's obligated himself to do what he writes in this word. All right, keep that in mind as we look at the scripture, because I'm afraid what's happened is, we think God, the God of the past, is not the God of the present. And we read our Bible and we see God parting the Red Sea and we see God performing miracles, and yet we're looking at God saying we're in 2024 and this group is in office and these people are doing this, and, you know, churches, they're anti-Christian. And by the way, may I say this? This is not the most dangerous time period ever for Christians to live in. It may be dangerous for our comfort level, but I don't know of anybody that's been sawed in half for not renouncing Christ. Amen? So we're in this holding pattern where we're saying, you know, the things going on with Israel, and we see the state of the church, and we know enough Bible verses where we'll say, well, you know, we're seeing a falling away, and we've got a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, and therefore Jesus is coming back. And I don't want to discourage you, because he could come back today, But that's been preached since the first church. Right? How many old enough were you as growing up in the 80s and remember Hal Lindsey, 88 Reasons Jesus is Coming in 1988? Well, he missed it, right? And so my point is that we can't just hold on in our church buildings, holding on white-knuckled, saying, Jesus, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and not going out, right? Two things. One, we're to occupy till he comes. That occupy does not mean hunker down in the bunker. It is a military term that means go out and take territory. And then we fall back on the scripture that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, right? Let me ask you this. Are gates an offensive weapon or a defensive weapon? Defense, right? You don't put up gates to go and occupy somebody. You put up gates to keep people from occupying us. Yet we have switched the scripture around to say the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, as in the gates are coming towards us, when actually we ought to be the ones charging the gate. And so what I'm saying is, we can have revival. We can see God do things in this day. We can see miracles performed in this day, but it's going to take something greater than what we have had in the past, because Christianity, just like us, I've been Independent Baptist for 53 years. I've been in revivals, camp meetings just like you. Matter of fact, I told Brother Barker at one time, my wife and I were praying about going to Turner's Creek early on, and I'm glad I didn't, not because I didn't love his daddy, but I probably wouldn't be pastor where I'm at if God would have put us there, right? God knows all this stuff. So my point is, we don't need to be discouraged in what's going on around us. We don't need to be discouraged, because anytime God's doing something, right? When you built this building, Pastor and I spoke the other day, and he said, man, we just been fighting the devil, right? Anytime God does something, the devil's going to do something, right? Yet when he does, we look at it like, I can't believe this going on. I thought God was just going to keep blessing and we were going to be. No, your life is going to be full of storms and trials and tribulation from now till Jesus comes, so you may as well just get ready, right? So here's what I want to do in Mark chapter 9. Every year we have a theme, right? Our church has a theme, and we try to rally around that theme. And I'm just, listen, I'm just me, right? I've been doing this 22 years. There was a time I was trying to be everybody else, and I'm just me, right? I grew up in a rough little town and a bunch around a lot of people, a lot of rednecks and a lot of rough people. And, you know, everything was just prove it, right? I mean, hey, I can jump off this building and be okay. All right, we'll do it, right? That's the way we grew up. It was all theory until you showed me you could do it. Well, I think God's that way. Taste of the Lord and see that he is good. Try the spirits. In other words, God's saying, listen, I'm making a proclamation in my word. And what I want you to do to prove to yourself that I am as good as my word is just tell me to prove it, right? And we do that by faith, right? You can pray all you want to, God, prove it, but God honors faith. Hebrews chapter 11, we know that without faith it is what? Impossible to please. You can't please God without faith, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So there's something about this thing of faith that God honors, and his promises in the word of God, we'll go to claiming them, yet we don't understand that God's promises in his word are conditional. You do this, and then I'll do this, right? And so in Mark chapter 9, I want you to pay attention to verse number 23. And I'll give you some context, and it'll be a short message, and we'll go, you know, get something to eat, and I'll go home. Notice what... Remember, we all said we believe this is God's word. Well, even in here, in verse 23, the Bible said, Jesus said unto him, what's the next word? If. Not just I'm going to do it. He said, if thou canst believe, what's the next word? All, what's the next word? Things are possible. To him that what? Believeth. Is that in your Bible? So here's what he's saying. If you can muster up enough faith to believe, then there's nothing under the scope of eternity that I can't do. Hello? Because here's what the world will tell you. Here's what religion will tell you. Here's what Christians will tell you. Well, y'all over here on the side of the road, this big as y'all ever going to get. What's that say? If thou canst believe, some things are possible. That's not what he said. All things are possible. So it's not just a promise to the church. He's making the promise to a man who his child is possessed. Now understand that in chapter 9, you start reading, and it'll be a very familiar passage. Jesus takes his inner circle, and notice there's several people. Number one, you see people that follow Jesus. The ones that God feeds them, 5,000, you know, they're all, hey, let's follow Jesus. Remember when he turned around to them and he said, if you're going to follow me, here's what it's going to cost you. And they looked at him and said, well, that's a hard saying. And they left. Well, you had the followers. Then you had some disciples, right? They were the inner circle, the ones that were with him 3 years. Well, then inside of those disciples, there were three that Jesus chose. You had John, was it James, you had Peter, and he took them and he showed them some pretty extraordinary things. So in this chapter, chapter 9, he takes those three up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember that story? And he revealed to them his glory. Just these three. So everybody that followed Jesus didn't get to see it. See, even in this congregation, some of you, if you'll believe, God can do some things in your life that he won't do for somebody that doesn't believe. I mean, you had Doubting Thomas, right? Till I put my finger in the nail prints in his hand, I won't believe. You had Judas who betrayed him. But here's three that stayed pretty close to him, and he showed them some pretty amazing things on the mountaintop, so much that Peter, our friend, remember him, the one, he's a Baptist, says things he shouldn't all the time, right? He said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Well, God didn't call him a liar. It was good to be on the mountaintop. He said, what we ought to do is build a place for you and Moses and Elias, and we'll just stay up here and we'll just have church. See, that's where most churches are. They want to have camp meeting all the time. They want to have revival service. They want it to get out the banks all the time, right? That's church, praise God. Listen, I grew up on that too. The problem is it doesn't last. And so then we get discontent and we go try to find something else. Am I still on? Some of you give me some cross looks. I'm not preaching blasphemy here. So Jesus shows himself, and Peter says, good for us to be here. Then two things happened. They saw Jesus for who he really was, and then they heard the voice of God. They literally heard God's voice, right? And so he said, this is my son, hear him. Well, why didn't they stay on the mountaintop? Well, you say, well, preachers, because they wanted to build these monuments to Moses and Elijah and Jesus, and they were at, here, you ready for this one? I hope the internet doesn't get mad at you for all this. They were elevating their favorite man of God to the status of Jesus. That ain't happened in the Independent Baptist, has it? God said, no, sir, he'll not share his glory with anybody. But here's the other reason. They could have stayed up on the mountain and had church and had revival and had camp meeting, and they needed that experience. I'm not discounting that. But there was somebody at the bottom of the mountain that needed help. And see, when you stay on the mountaintop all the time and people say, well, you can't grow on the mountaintop, the good soil and the good corn's in the valleys. That's true, but it's more than just us. See, Jesus put us on this earth. He said this. He said he came to minister, not be ministered to, right? And so we are here to reach out to people that need Jesus. Well, down at the bottom of this mountain, there was a very person that needed that, and this kid's dad was there, and the disciples, I can see them in their Baptist pride, and they said, well, bless God, we'll cast that demon out of that kid. And they couldn't do it. Jesus came down there. This guy said, can you help me? And he just said this, if you can believe, I can do anything. Well, has God changed? I'm the Lord, I change not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what your Bible says. So if he would do it for him, why would he not do it for you? Well, we're not in the same day, preacher. Now, that's in the kingdom of God dispensation, and we're in the dispensation. Okay. But that's what's hindering God doing stuff in our churches and in our families, in our lives, is we're saying, God, you did it in the Old Testament, but now we're in the New Testament. You did it in the Gospels, you did it in the Acts, and that's a whole, listen, that's a transitional book. We're in the age of grace, and we're in the stage of grace, and you know, we don't have those signs and gifts. Like, okay, I agree. But you're saying God can't do what he used to could do. Amen? That we're serving a powerless God that cannot do what he used to do in parting the Red Sea, in parting the Jordan River and all these things. We're saying, God, you're limited now what you knew, because we live in 2024. And there's an element of people out there that doesn't like old-fashioned Christianity. And there's government officials that want to shut us down. And the devil's doing so much with all this stuff with the kids. And we've got TikTok and we've got Facebook. And you just can't do it anymore, God. Well, that's not what he said. So see, you either have to understand that God is not like us. Or you have to come to terms that your God, the God you serve, is not as powerful as you think he is. Well, here's the problem. If I can't trust him with this, then how do I know that I can trust him with whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? I mean, either it's all true or none of it's true. So here it is. This inner circle of disciples had just come off the mountain, and their faith should have been at the pinnacle, right? I mean, they should have been going, listen, ain't nobody going to stop us. We're going to turn the world upside down for Jesus. And y'all just built this building. That's where y'all should be. And we just had a 2-week revival meeting. That's where we should be. And I've seen God answer prayer in my personal life. That's where I should be. But see, we get up on that mountain and we start going down in the valleys and we start thinking, well, God's up there and we're down here and he's not going to do the same thing down here that he will up there. And we start to lose faith, don't we? So now they come down off the mountain, they face criticism in what appears to be an impossible situation. Now, I don't know about you, but if some kid came in here foaming at the mouth with the demon and walked in that door, I'm telling you what I'd do. I'd get behind the piano and say, preacher, this is your church, you handle it. Or this man, he brought a machine gun in, looked like a guitar case. I'd say, you go handle that. I'm not messing with that. When I believe, hey man, that's something I ain't messing with. So they come off that mountaintop, and they're like, boy, we saw God like we've never seen him before. And we know Jesus. We saw the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we heard the word of God. And here's the boy and his daddy saying, listen, my kid needs help. And they were powerless. That's where the church is today. We're powerless. Because we're believing the hype. We're believing in the last days and nobody's getting saved. And boy, the church has lost its power and old-fashioned religion is dying and millennials don't want to come to... You know what millennials want? The truth. They don't care about the rock and roll music. They don't care about the light shows. You just... See, my generation, they'd believe anything. Man... Preacher said it, they'd say, yeah, bless God. It didn't have to be in the book. They'd believe it. Well, this generation's saying, we want to know the truth. Well, you got the truth, man. So we don't have to change everything to get them in. We just have to preach truth. Ye shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when we get off from preaching Jesus, we're doomed. Because that's what it's all about, right? John 3:30, John the Baptist, Jesus himself said of a man born a woman, there's none greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. So where I'm going with this is this. You and I have got to get back to the place that our ancestors were, and we just have to believe God. We have to get back to not having it all figured out and realize God's got it all figured out and get to this place where this man comes and he said, can you help my kid? Canst thou help my child? And so let me give you three things. I'm not going to expound it too much, but let me give you a couple things that I find interesting. Jesus said, first of all, he told them they were faithless, without faith at all. They didn't have any faith, right? And he said, how long shall I be with you? In other words, he's saying, you've seen what I can do and who I am, but they would not recognize the possibility of who Jesus is or what he could do. Now, we've seen it. I mean, most of us in here, I look at some of you and I can tell you grew up in church and you've been in church your whole life and you've seen God do some amazing things, and you're going to this church because God's doing some great things here. But when are we going to trust God for bigger things? Right? I mean, this, by the way, this is not all there is. Praise God for what he's done this far. But don't sit back and go, well, we're okay with where we are. So all as we look at that same thing, they wouldn't recognize who he was and what he could do. They tried to humanize him to the place with saying, well, we can't do it. The disciples couldn't do it, so therefore it's impossible. And therefore, if we can't do it, God can't do it. And that's not who he is, friend. Listen, do you realize the fact that you're sitting here on a Sunday night, saved by the grace of God, is the greatest miracle that ever took place? Some of you would be in hell right now, including me, and he reached down and came to where you at and convicted your heart and showed you were a sinner, and you're sitting here today. Marriages have been put back together, and now we're looking on, God, I don't think you can do it anymore. I was waiting and saying, if you can believe. So here's this was, like I said, I'm not an eloquent preacher. I don't have all the nifty. Here's what I told our church last year. I mean, it was just dead. I know it don't happen around here, but we'd go in church and I'd be like, God, do I have to be here today? And it was just going through the motions. You know? We've arrived. We've got this big, beautiful building, and we got a bus ministry and a Spanish ministry and a kids ministry, and, you know, the choir's doing great, and all, you know, pews are pretty full. And we just come in, sit down, amen, you know, we got in a rut. And so I just challenged our church. I said, either God is who he says he is or he isn't, right? He's who he says he is, or we can't trust him. So this was our thing. Now, you ready for this? This is going to be one of the most biblical, thought-provoking things you've ever heard. I said, let's find out. That's in the book of Hezekiah 14:22. Let's find out. There is no Hezekiah 42. Anyway, but I've just got the point. I'm like, either God is going to do it or he's not. But let's find out. I mean, you remember Elijah? He said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a contest between your God and my God. And if your God is the real God, we'll worship him. And if my God's the real God, we'll worship him. And so they did it. And so guess whose God came out on top? As for me and my house, we will serve. What I'm saying tonight, church, is your best days are not behind you if you can't believe. Right? So what is he saying in this scripture that we need to look at? Let me give you three things. Number one, in this scripture, there's a proposition, right? So in verse 23, Jesus said unto him, the first word is what? If. There's the proposition. If you believe, I will do this. That's what he's saying to you. Tonight, church, if you can't believe. If, Amazing Grace Baptist Church, if you'll get out of your comfort zone and you'll stretch your faith, and you'll stop trying to figure it all out, and you'll go back to believing that I'm the God who parts red seas. I'm the God that feeds 5,000 with a handful of fish and some loaves. I'm the God that rose from the dead. I'm the God that has spoke the world into existence. If you'll get back to that place where you have that much faith in me, I'll do things that'll blow your mind. Right? So he's saying this. The first thing in the proposition, you have to recognize there's a problem. If I don't recognize there's a problem, there's no reason for me to call on the Lord. If I didn't realize I was a sinner, I'd not need a Savior. If there's no reason for me to call on him, this man knew that he could not help his son. His disciples couldn't help his son. The doctors couldn't help his son. He was at the last rope, the last part of the rope, and he's saying, look, the only thing I can do is go to Jesus, and I've heard that he can do some amazing things, but I'm going to go to him and find out for myself. Amen. Some of you tonight, you're just going to have to find out for yourself. We've talked about it for years and theorized and heard the stories and read the biographies and the great Welsh revival and the great tent meetings and this revival and that one. Well, you know what? I don't want to hear about it. I want to see it. Don't you? Man, I'm tired of hearing about the old days. I want to experience the old days. And the way we do that is we got to get back to recognizing there's a problem. It's time to recognize where we really are. And I'm not picking on your church. I know that we're all made out of the same stuff called flesh. And I hate it, don't you? So we have to recognize. Second thing to do, God gives us in this scripture is a requirement. If thou canst what? Believe. Trust, not intellectually, preacher. See, that's where we get messed up. We try to intellectualize everything. Oh, I believe there's a Savior. You can talk to most people. They say, well, I believe in Jesus. Do you? Sure. Well, if you believe something, it affects the way you act. Your belief affects your behavior, right? If you believe there's another way to get to heaven, you wouldn't have come to Jesus. If you thought you were good enough to get to heaven, there'd be no need to call on him, right? If you, years ago, how many remember this? Years ago when eggs were bad for you and caused cholesterol, right? Well, if you believe that, you quit eating eggs. I knew it was junk. I ate more of them. And if they ever come up with red meat causes something, I know that we're in the Soviet Union. There's never been a cow that has caused problems. They're ordained of God, right? I'd never be a part of religion, wouldn't let you eat cows. So don't go to one of those that down the road there, they had some bison. I was going to get ready to jump on one of them and see if I could take him home with me. Right? But that's what I'm saying. If you believe that red meat caused high blood pressure and you really believed it and it was going to kill you, you'd say, well, I'm done with that, right? If you intellectually believe it, you say, I don't believe it. Really, I'm going to try it out. So that's where a lot of Christians are. Well, I have faith. Well, the book of James proves to us that if you have faith, there's something attached to what you say you believe, and that's that you do something about it. Right? You say, well, I believe in missions. Yeah, but what are you doing for missions? Have you given a dollar to missions? Amen. I believe in soul winning, but are you doing any of it? Because if you're not doing any of it, you don't believe in it like you say you do. So what Jesus is saying is that if you can believe, and believe is the key word, trust, have faith, he said, here's what he said he'd do. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. How about y'all? That sounds pretty good to me. Another scripture said he's able to do above, abundantly above all that we think or ask. Right? Is that in your book? How many of you are like me and you got some pretty vivid imagination? I do. Hey, when we built our first building, preacher, we had 30 people. And Pastor and I were talking about this. I took the church, we had 10 people. They were all about 150 years old. And I remember we were talking one day, and man, I mean, I'm 31 years old, and I'm just excited and on fire. And I said, well, what we going to do, man? We're gonna go out and knock on doors, and we're going to get some people in here. And one guy said, well, preacher, we never done that before. We don't do it that way around here. I said, well, you know what? The way y'all been doing it ain't working. Now, I wouldn't say that now. I'm more diplomatic. I'd spiritualize it now. But back then, man, I was like a bull in a china shop. And so I was just going hard at it, and we need to build a building. Our little building would hold about 40, and we had 50 in it. We had Sundays. We had this building that's probably about the size of this platform for Sunday school. We had curtains, and we had four rooms on curtains. Man, them were fun days. You know what? And then after that, we'd pull the curtains back, have children's church in there, and we didn't have no money in the bank. I mean, this was 9 months into it. I'm excited. I'm trying to find a bank that'll loan us some money to build a sanctuary. Everyone I talked to said, what are you talking about? I said, we need to build a building that'll seat 200 people. He's like, y'all don't have any money. I said, but I got faith. And he said, but they don't pay the bills. And I, time after time, I'd call him and say, listen, here's the deal. We got 40 people. We need to build an auditorium to seat 200. We got about $20,000 in the bank. I need to borrow $200,000. I said, no. So finally, I met Earl. Y'all don't know Earl, but you ought to. Earl came to the church. He's a banker. None of them know Jesus, by the way. None of them. Or if they do, they don't exercise faith. Me and Earl were sitting at the pew. I was explaining to Earl my vision. We're sitting there. I put my hand on his shoulder. I said, Earl, I'm going to be honest with you. You're going to have to step out in faith with me on this one. He looked at me. He said, what are you talking about? I said, if you'll loan me the money, we'll pay it back in 5 years. He said, there's no way. I said, give me the money and see. He said, well, you don't understand how the bank operates. They got to put the formulas in and see how many given units you got, and it don't add up. I said, go ask somebody, Earl. Just go ask them. He called me about 3 days later. He said, I don't know how this happened, but they're going to give you the money. I said, step it out in faith, Earl. We paid that thing off in 2 years. Earl came to the note-burning service. Guess what Earl said? If you ever need any more money, you come see Earl. Is that right? A few years later, I said, Earl, I need $750,000. He said, done. I didn't know how it's going to get paid back. I just knew that I served the big God. And hey, let me give you this. See, I like reliving this stuff because it strengthens my faith. We voted that Sunday night to build that building 100%. Went over and we lived in Moxville, about a 30-minute drive to our house. We didn't have any money. By the way, I quit my job and become full-time pastor of 20 people. That doesn't pay very well, so you got to have some faith. So our supper on Sunday night was the gas station, a pack of nabs and a Coke. And I walked in that gas station that Sunday night, and the lady said, preacher, said, some guy come by here last night and left this for you as an envelope. I said, what is it? She said, I don't know. And I said, who left it? She said, I don't know. He just said, do you know the pastor of that church? And she said, yeah, he comes in here every Sunday night. Would you give him this envelope? Preacher opened that envelope up, and it was a check for $1,500 from a builder that built neighborhoods there. He's a Christian, and when he had built them, he had tithed to the church that was closest to it. Now, I don't know about you. When you vote on something that night, and there's a check for $1,500 at the gas station, I ain't talking about an offering plate. I'm talking about at the gas station. Can I get amen on that? I came out crying and shouting and screaming, and my wife said, what in the world is wrong with you? I said, look. Then she got out, and she's pregnant, and we're running through the parking lot, a pregnant woman and a fat man. They're like, but we just believe God. Yes. And the longer we're in this thing, you know what happens? Well, now that was back then, and that was when the building was small. Well, how big's your God? Amen. So you have to recognize there's a problem and there's a requirement, but there's a remedy to the problem, and that remedy is always the same thing. Notice in that verse, the Bible didn't say the disciple said unto him. The Bible said Jesus said unto him. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot right then, but here, this is the same Jesus is getting ready to kick death in the face and walk out of the grave. Amen. That's the one you know now. So if he could do that before he ever proved, and this guy said, you know what, I think I'll just step out and believe. When your situation gets bad enough and nobody can help you, you're going to start believing. So there was the proposition, if. Well, then number two, there's the possibility. He said, here's what he said. If thou canst believe, all things are what? Possible. Well, what's that mean? Now, preacher, I know you're an educated man. All in the Hebrew means what? All. Greek? All. Redneck? All. Right? Mountain? All. It just means all. He said all things. Not some things. All. What's your all? Everybody's got a different all here. There's something you need to believe God. And I'm not talking about no prosperity stuff. I realize we got trials. I'm talking about your faith. I'm not talking about having millions of dollars in the bank. I'm talking about your faith, and there's some things in your personal life, and there's some things in the church here that God's saying, if you'll just quit trying to figure it out and quit relying on man and quit relying on reason and quit relying on algorithms and figure out that I'm the God that spoke the world into existence, and I'm the one who created you, and I'm the one that knows every hair on your head, and I know everything inside and out about you. If you'll just get past all that knowing and start believing, I'll do something for you. Amen, church. I'm telling you, God's not done with a group of people that will bypass all the logic and just say, God, we want you. Them girls sang about it, man. I'm talking about when we'll cast out religion and we'll cast out rituals and we'll cast out tradition and we'll quit trying to be what everybody wants us to be and say, we're just going to be a church that's going to start believing God, and we're going to be a family that's going to believe God, and I'm going to be a Christian that I don't care what everybody else says. I'm just going to believe God. That's what he's looking for. The possibility. What is that? Well, three things. Improbable things. Well, this child didn't seem like his probable was going to get better. Could, but not probable. There's some things in your life. People are like, well, that's probably not going to happen, right? Religion will tell you this is probably all that's ever going to happen here, right? I mean, if you believe statistics and all that stuff, and I'm not here to depress you, but probably as the church gets older, it's going to decline. It's like everybody else, right? That's what they'll say. The problem is that's not what God says. See, it's improbable things is... I mean, let's be honest, all right? Are we family, right? You say, I don't know about that. Well, if you saved, you're my family. So there's crazy in every family, and I might be yours, but we're still family. The probability, preacher, is all them kids right there are not going to serve God. That's the probability. Am I right? Probability is they're all going to turn to the world, or a good portion of them. But is it possible that all of them would serve God? Amen. Then why are we believing in the probability and instead of the possibility? Yep. Amen. Yep. Well, you know, you got to let them be children because, well, if they're saved, got the same Holy Spirit in them that you and I have, they have a responsibility to live for God too. So probability, but not impossibility. That's what we ought to be praying for them about, right? What's the improbable thing in your life that the world and your flesh and the devil's telling you ain't going to happen, God can't do it, but God says he can? Then there's impossible things. Most thought it was impossible for this girl to get better, for this child to get better. But he said he could do all things. And then there's impotent things. The child was helpless. See, there's some situations in your life that you don't have any control over, which makes you impotent in the situation. And unless God intervenes, it's done. Might be a marriage, might be a relationship with a child, might be a job situation, might be health issues. Well, this kid right here was doomed. But God intervened. God can do that for you. And then number three, the proof. Notice what he said. He said, I'm just reading one verse. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him. Well, you say, well, preacher, that's to him, not to us. Well, we believe Scripture. And there's something in there that says God's not a respecter of persons. So you're saying he'll do it for him, but won't do it for you. That's not the God you serve. Okay? Watch this. So, are possible to him that believeth. Is that word in there? Did it say believed? Believed is what? Past tense. Believeth is present tense. It's an ongoing belief. See, here's the issue. I don't know you. I just know people are the same. We're all the same, right? Some of you sitting here tonight, there was a time where you did believe God, but now that faith is not there anymore. And you're going, this is good, preacher, for somebody, but not for me. Well, see, you got to keep believing. You say, the evidence sitting there. Has God changed? So the proof is the ability. Here's what I want to ask you. Can God do it? Let's say that together. Can God do it? Right? There's the ability. I can't do it. Preacher can't do it. Government can't do it. Job can't. But can God do it? That's the ability. He has the ability. How do you know that? Because he can do all things. Second thing, is there assurance? Well, according to this verse, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Well, he just obligated himself by his word. He just said, if you'll believe, all things are possible. He has to do it. There's our assurance. He has to make all things possible. Let me say that, because somebody would be going, bless God, preacher, I named it and claimed it. He said all things are possible. Right? There's your assurance. Not your feeling, not what you think, not what your favorite preacher on the internet said, what God said. He said all things are possible. There's his assurance. That's all I need right there, man. I mean, I'm talking about, you can talk about, I quit going to all the preachers' fellowships because I came out depressed. Well, ever since COVID, man, COVID got blamed for a lot of stuff. Well, ever since COVID, our attendance ain't never been back. I said, man, ours has. I told one guy, I said, we was open when a lot of y'all wasn't. And people want to go to church, and they's like, they all open. We're going down to y'all's place. Amen? Well, COVID. No, it ain't COVID. COVID just revealed some things about people. I mean, a lot of churches ain't knocked on a door in 50 years. Amen? I mean, some of them, the address on the track's not even right. I mean, it's been so long. Then they can't figure out, we don't ever have no visitors at our place. Then when they get there, my goodness, you think they had leprosy. Man, a visitor walks in that door, you ought to part the Red Sea, roll out the red carpet, and say, right here, what do you need? Right? Man, I've been in some, it ain't like that here, praise God. I've been in some churches I preached, and I've walked in there, and I mean, it was cold. I preached to one that sat on the front row. Nobody spoke to me. I got up and preached. Went back there to shake hands. Nobody want to come back and shake your hand. I just told the preacher, I said, give me my love offering. I'm leaving. No, I didn't say that. But you, if people don't, why they want to come where they don't feel welcome? We all ain't like that here. I feel welcome. I'm waiting for somebody to say, preacher, I love you. I want to take you hunting up here and get you a big old deer. But nobody's told me that yet. And then I'm done. The affirmation. Here's what he said. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Believeth. What does that mean? Continually believing. Didn't work out. I don't believe him. Nope, he's still God. Keep believing. Your Christian walk's going to be like this. It's easy to believe him up here. Them disciples, when they saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration, they're like, that's Jesus right there. They come down off there. Well, guess what they got to see? They got to see him be Jesus in the valley too. Sometimes the biggest miracles happen in the valley. So I'm just saying this. You know what? Praise God for what he has done. But I don't believe he's done up here. So let's find out.
Well, preacher, you know all the churches in the county, they're all declining. Ain't your problem. Well, you know, 50%, 60% of marriages end in divorce. I get that.
But yours doesn't have to.
Well, you know, preacher, all these kids, I mean, you look at them, they're all going to the world and transgenders and name it and rock and roll and that. Yeah, but yours don't have to. Quit letting the world tell you what you got to do. You serve a different God.
Here's what I want. I'll close. I'm not, it's okay, preacher. I want to do something different. And he didn't ask me to do this, but I know this. This church, we need you. The world needs you. This county needs you. Too many are quitting. Too many are shutting down. Too many are declining. They don't have the life that you got.